Welcome to the Lindsay and Tony podcast, where we talk about spirituality, business, and life experiences.
In this podcast, we're bringing our private conversations to you.
We believe that it's through discussion, action, and reflection that true change occurs. Okay.
Cheers, everyone.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Episode 216. We're talking all about the power of really thinking about mediumship, your mediumship mission, and the rejection that can come when you're really putting yourself out there, trying to put your heart into everything that you're doing. Not only rejection from other people, but also rejection from yourself, that internal thing that's happening when you're really trying something new.
That's a huge part. And we all know this. When we do something outside of our comfort zone, anything outside of our comfort zone, even if it's small, like say you're not used to going out to eat at restaurants. Like at one point, I didn't have a lot of practice at that. And then I remember feeling awkward at restaurants when I was going out to eat because it was outside of my comfort zone. And my entire body was rejecting the experience at first. I could feel it, so I couldn't even be fully present with it. It's part of growth, right? And now I can go into a restaurant and I'm perfectly fine. So anything in our life that we're doing outside of our comfort zone, our own bodies reject ourselves.
Yes.
And then here we are, sometimes we get pissed at other people when they reject us.
That's true.
Right?
It's one of those things where it's almost like, I remember at the very beginning of my mediumship journey, I was really just taking the classes. I wasn't, you know, going and giving people readings, but I was outside in the public world. But there was a mix of moments like that. But one of the things that took place was I wasn't feeling sure of myself. So when people were asking me what I was learning or what I was doing, I felt really uncomfortable. And when I was uncomfortable, I felt myself trying to convince other people, but really it was trying to convince myself, like, yes, I can do this. So I think that comes when you're learning something new and you're not really sure, you're not steady, you're going to end up attracting some people that don't believe in what you're speaking about either, because that belief inside is not strong. It's very hesitant. It's very wishy-washy, and people feel that. And some people, depending on the character, will gravitate and latch on to that uncomfortable insecurity. For me, if I see someone insecure, I try to make them feel comfortable. There's two different character types in the world. People that are really morally in integrity, want the best for people. And then there's other people that want to steal your energy and ride off of the energy of the insecurity. So you're going to find two different things going on. And you need to be really, really sure before you share that you're going out in your mission and you're, you know, putting yourself out there. Sometimes you have to learn behind the scenes before you go and tell anyone.
Yeah, because a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us, you know, we grow up with our mom and dad saying, oh, good job, you're doing everything right. Like, and there's not much rejection, right? Because a lot of parents are just like, they're trying to support their kid, they're giving them love. And then they go out into the real world and they experience that.
Yeah.
That rejection.
Right.
And they think that everybody is going to be like their mom and dad, right? And I understand some people grew up with their mom and dad doing the exact opposite. But then when you find out that not everybody, like some people, very intuitive, like you said, and they'll spot that insecurity and then they'll exploit it and they'll use it against you.
Right.
And then the other person will spot it and try to create that safe space for you. I think that's a huge point that you made, because knowing that is like understanding how the world really is.
Right.
And not like with these rosy rainbow eyes where you just think everybody, you know, you never started a business and you think that, oh, I got the best idea and just everybody's going to support me because I see it's awesome. And we're talking to mediums here. We're psychic mediums here, right? So you're talking about an industry. It's not cutting hair. It's not doing, you know, mechanic work or being a teacher of things that most people understand. You're talking about a subject that, I don't know the percentages, but a majority of the world actually rejects because it's outside of their belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And when something's outside of your belief system, your body rejects it.
Right. And the good thing about what's been happening lately in the world is we have so much content that's being thrown at us, whether it's through social media or it's TV. And there's been a lot of reality television shows that are connected to mediumship. I mean, I can count, you know, more than five right now that I could think of people that are mediums that are putting themselves out there online, or not online, on TV. And then there's people online doing the mediumship stuff. So it's helping. We're seeing the world constantly. Like, we have mediums that are connected to us. We work with mediums. But when you're first starting out, you might not notice those things. That, you know, when you start focusing on things, you see it everywhere. But when it comes to really the big scale of things, mediumship is just like a teeny little piece. Like, when we were teachers, everyone was really respectable about, you know, you're teachers. You know, there's a different thought process of working hard as a teacher or working hard in another job that people are comfortable with. So it's not shaming the people, but it's being aware that when you're putting yourself out there, you're going to have moments where you resist your own growth, but then you're also going to realize, all right, well, my mission is bigger and I just need to figure out, why am I doing this work? And that's going to carry you. And I think that's what we've uncovered with our students, is when they have a bigger reason of why they're doing what they're doing, not just to kind of show off and be like, I'm the medium, I know these answers. It's not like that. It's like, no, I want to help because I experienced something in my life, or I want to help people because of this reason. That's a big difference in energy when you're going out into the world.
Yeah, it is. And so let's think about how some people view rejection and how I used to view rejection. It's like, when it would happen, I would take it personal. I'd get all emotional.
Yeah.
Get frustrated. And I'd see rejection sometimes as if maybe this is not my right path that I'm supposed to be doing. And then sometimes I would take it to where it's like, this person's like being personal towards me. It's personal, and that's why they're doing it. And so it's like redefining what rejection actually is. Because mm-hmm. rejection alone, that word, it's a heavy word.
Right.
So we could create a new word for it and define it differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the anxiety, right? We all feel anxiety. And some people, like performers or mediums or people that sing on stages, they let that anxiety become a block to them. Like, there's that story about that Tony Robbins shared with,
yeah.
I forget who it was a singer, it was a female singer and then a male actor. And one of them described before they get on the show that
she was going to have a panic attack.
I'm going to have a panic attack. And he was like, okay, so describe that. He's like, well, I started to breathe real shallow. I started to get the sweats. And I could just feel this energy in me. And that's how I know I'm having a panic attack. And the other guy, he would say, Tony said, how do you know, when you're ready to go out on the stage? And he described the exact same thing. He's like, I start to feel all this energy come to me. My palms start to sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I know I'm ready for the show. And it reminds me like what we do with our retreat coming up.
Right.
It's like all of this energy fills me up. And I know it does you too. Leading up to the retreat, you're filled with all this energy. Maybe my first retreat I did, maybe even the second, I was processing that more so as like anxiety, and then it was just very heavy to me. And I started to change the way that I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I started to use different language around it. And that's the power of transformational language. Like, the
right.
language that you use to define what's going on in you, that's the game changer.
That's a huge thing. And it's becoming aware of the language. And sometimes I know when we're coaching people, we'll actually stop them and say, wait a second, do you hear what you just said? Do you hear how you use that piece of language and how it changed the story that you were telling? Like, it created a new story on how you shared it. It's a debilitating story. It's not going to carry you far by that same story repeating over and over again. And sometimes when you're the one speaking, you don't know what's coming out of your mouth if you're not slowing down to pay attention. You might need someone else to point it out. Either a good friend that's looking out for you, that's telling you the truth and that's very blunt, or it's a coach, or maybe it's someone that you trust as a peer too. But it really is about transforming your language. That is a huge game changer, and that changes even mediumship readings. Like, I think about when our students are giving mediumship readings, I'm training them in mediumship language. Tony's treating them in a space of mindset. Like, where are you at with your mindset? What's holding you back? Both come into play. It's all connected to language. And when you mentioned the story about the person that went on stage, the two people that went on stage and they had two different experiences, I notice that when students come to me and they'll say, well, I get so nervous. Do you get nervous before your mediumship event, like a group audience event? And I say, I do feel that energy. I do feel like, oh my gosh, this is happening. But I know when my heart starts beating really, really fast that spirit's around. So I can know the difference between my anxiety and the spirit realm. Now, sometimes at the very beginning, I thought that it was anxiety, but really it's the same feeling when spirit comes close. So it's very similar in different ways there.
Yeah, so if you describe that as, oh, I feel nervous and I feel anxiety, that's one way. And then the same thing happens if you describe it, oh, spirit's around. It's a whole different form. And why are we even creating an episode about rejection? Why are we even doing this? And I think it's because we've seen so many psychic mediums to where they put the gas on, they're going, they're building their business, they're impacting clients most importantly, and then they put the brakes on.
Right.
And about 99% of the time, I could probably even say 100% of the time, it's because rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times it's rejection within themselves, like they can't get out of their own way. And then something comes up and they feel that fear. And instead of owning that, they will tell a story about something else of why that's happening. It's something outside of them. And instead of just saying, oh, I'm feeling fearful and this is part of the growth process. And that's just the price that you pay.
Well, right. And a lot of the times, if it's at the very beginning of your mediumship journey, you're not going to get any resistance from people around you, most likely, because there's a reason for that. You haven't put yourself out there enough. So if you're just getting the resistance in your own body and you're slowing down and you're putting on the gas and you're putting on the brake and you're taking classes and then you take another class, but then you take another class, but then you never do your readings outside of that. And you're like, I'll just wait. This is a common theme with mediums.
Yes, it is. It comes up over and over.
I mean, it's repeated. That's why this is important to talk about. It's not the external resistance yet. You will think that this conversation doesn't even make sense. It doesn't apply to you because you never got it. But it's because you haven't got that far yet and you're not there in your journey. Because there's different layers and levels to your journey as a medium. If you're not experiencing any sort of resistance from the outside world, you haven't gone far enough to even see it. The people that have been putting themselves out there, doing the group events, doing the private readings, working with clients, giving your heart in that way, and really putting in the hours and the work outside of just classes, are going to start to spot these things. That's a common theme. So it's not that there's anything wrong by not, you know, putting yourself out there. You're just not at that level. So there's different levels to it. So your first level will be connected to your internal resistance. That's where that resistance will come from. It won't come from external. And even if you're at a new level with your mediumship, you're spotting the external resistance, but really it's always internal. It just magnified out and people are just matching what you're feeling inside at different moments of your mediumship. Because your mediumship mission and journey, there's an ebb and flow to it. Because you could start, so I know when people take classes, they'll say, well, this teacher said this, or this teacher said that. And that's like a conversation that comes up. And the one thing that I always tell my students is exactly what my mentor told me. If someone tells you to do it one way, run the other way. Mavis used to tell me that. She used to tell her whole group that. If people tell you there's one way to do it, run the other way. And I always believed that. I always feel like when it comes to mediumship, you have to take things with a grain of salt. You take what makes sense to you when you're learning. And I even tell this to my students. If it doesn't make sense right now, keep it to the side. You don't need to agree with it. It's just a suggestion where you can practice this technique and then you move along and you try something else. So it's really important to honor that on your journey too. And I feel like that's a really important thing to talk about.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And going back to what you said too a little bit ago is like, if you're not experiencing rejection, it means you're not taking enough action.
Right.
And when you do experience rejection, it means your own, or resistance. Resistance is what I meant too.
Mm-hmm.
Rejection, resistance, same thing, similar. The resistance we're talking about here, if you're, once you start experiencing that, celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
It means you're growing. It means you're on the right path, meaning like you're following your inner calling. So if you think about, like, if I think about my inner compass, right, like what guides me to make what decisions that I make? Why do I make decisions? How do I know what decision to make? Well, I feel it's an inner knowing. It's a feeling that I know inside. It's, I feel a little excited, a little scared, and I know like that's the direction to go. Like if I'm too excited, I'm ungrounded.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm too scared, it's like we've all been there before. When we're too scared and we create these goals and things that we're doing that are just way too big at first. Like we want to be a speaker or a medium and all these things all at once. And then we end up not doing anything. Anyways, that's how it's been for me. And that's what I've seen with people, a pattern I've seen with people. So figuring out what your inner compass is,
yeah,
and following that too along the
right
way. And then understanding that resistance is coming along the way. And you could somewhat manage the resistance in a way,
yeah,
by doing it this way, because you're like, all right, I'm excited. I'm scared, but I'm not too excited. And I'm not too scared. That's my center point. So I think that's the most powerful thing people can do.
Mm-hmm.
Is even if you think your inner compass is powerful already, like keep making it more clear. Keep having more clarity with that. Because I think from that base, everything else becomes easy.
Right. It's true. You have to have a base. And then also recognizing that when you reach a level of resistance, it's making you aware that, wow, I'm going to a new level right now. So if you're not experiencing anything, you're still at that same space, you know? And I'm talking in the words of like level, like the human word level. It's just moving up in energy and taking on new energy, really. That's what it is.
We all could redefine that ourselves only.
Right. It's not like one person's
up
on one level, the other person's on the other level, and you're not experiencing much pain. It's not like that. It's just being aware that something is shifting in your energy to create, to stimulate something outside of yourself to show up like a mirror for you and to be aware of it. And then you just keep moving. You're like, oh, that's interesting. Like I noticed that resistance. Okay, I know why that's coming up. I know I'm moving up in levels. Am I going to react to this resistance or am I going to respond in a different way? And as you go through things with, you know, your mission and in doing the work that you're doing, you're going to realize that the tiny things sometimes that happen don't need the same attention that they might have needed from you years before. Like, I feel like I gave a lot of time and energy into my resistance and felt really like the victim of resistance outside of myself when I could have just done some inner work and like wrote some things out, got it written down, felt the pain and think, okay, this has nothing to do directly with me and how people are reacting, but it does have to do with me. Like I need to figure that out myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like people are showing you what you're feeling inside. And sometimes those people, you're like, I'm angry at them for doing that, but it's not, they're just mirroring what you're doing. So it's not fun when it's happening. And it doesn't mean people are in the best character when they're doing things, but they're latching on to that energy of what you feel inside.
Yeah, sometimes people are just straight assholes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what they're doing. They're being an asshole.
Yeah.
But again, it's not personal. It's their own inner programming, like their ego and soul battling,
mm-hmm,
inside. And then they take it out on you.
And
so yeah, they're
sometimes
being an asshole,
they
but
don't know what they're doing either. They're like, I don't know why I'm acting like that. And it like there's an outburst. So we've seen it with students. They've come to us with their sessions and they've shared this. They're like, I'm dealing with this. Some people, even from their partner, you know, their wife or their husband, they're dealing with people that aren't supportive of them. And it's hard. It's hard to walk through that. And that's why, you know, when me and Tony are doing this work together, it's really powerful because there's two different directions that things can come in. Your internal resistance and then people closest to you. You have to be really, really mindful of how you're communicating with them and how important this is for you.
Yeah, and that's why we have Mediumship Mastery Circle.
Right.
Monthly program where mediums
are in
there.
Yeah, that's what helps them.
Like, they're able to give each other support. We understand each other's language. It's refreshing. We help people overcome rejection in this program, in the programs that we run.
Mm-hmm.
It's why we run it, right? Like, when you start a business, you think about, what are the problems? Let me have a solution. And this is a big problem. This is a huge problem because if something is stopping somebody from doing readings, and we know how powerful a reading is, like how healing it is, and you're letting something stop you from doing that, and you're called to do that, like, it's important to solve that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because life goes by so quick. And if you're 50, if you're 60, you still got time. Like, we've seen people in some of our programs, like, start their business in their 50s, right?
Yeah.
After wanting to do it for 20 years and then crush it in business.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then if you're younger, if you're 30, like, still, right? If you're called to it, put yourself out there. I believe,
yeah.
Like, you were about 30 years old.
I was
29.
Well,
when you start your business.
Yeah.
It was 10 years ago.
So I started giving readings at 23.
Or 11 years ago, actually.
Readings at 23, but that was for just giving them away to people and practicing for a few years. And then, when was that?
You're 29 when you
started
your business. And the thing is, you know, when you're younger, people are like, well, what do you know? How are you a medium? How are you a coach? Like, still do it because you're going to heal people. Like, your message and your energy is right for the right people. So your people, you'll be able to heal no matter what age you are, whether you're 20-something or you're 50-something. If you're called to do this, you're called to do it for a reason. And I bring that up because rejection is the main thing. Like, if you're 50-something, you're like, your mind's thinking, I'm too old. I should have done this when I was 30 or 40. And it's just like, I don't have enough time now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not true. We've seen it over and over where people start their business in their 50s,
right,
in their 60s. And if you're too young, we've seen the same thing, right? We've experienced ourselves. And is it painful? Yeah, it can be painful at times. Experiencing all this, like we talked about, like internally, externally. But that's the price that we pay, right? And before we started our businesses, we didn't anticipate all this, did you? I didn't anticipate all this. I thought, whoa, this is going to be just like teaching. When I was teaching, everybody's going to celebrate me. I'm just going to keep leveling up and rising very easily. And me personally, I quit teaching 7 years ago now, and it's been the biggest personal development that I've ever undertaken in my entire life.
And I never understood that when people said, like, if you're an entrepreneur, that is the biggest thing that you could do for personal development. I didn't understand it then. I think I heard it in the background, but you really uncover it when you're going through it.
Yeah, and that's the difference between head knowledge and wisdom, right?
Yeah.
Head knowledge, and many of our students, they have all this head knowledge. They read all these books. They know this. They've heard this before. It's the biggest personal development. But what you said, it's like you're not going to really know that
right.
in your body and with wisdom until you experience it yourself. It's not something you could learn from a book or from a course.
Yeah,
you have
to do it.
You can anticipate it. Get the education so you can see this fastball coming so you can anticipate it because then you're going to be in a better position to overcome it, but you still got to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do the work, you're not going to get, you know, you can only, if we're doing levels out of 10, just studying about it, you could probably get to like level like 1.5 on
mm-hmm.
understanding of that. Doing it, that's the only way you're going to get to level 10.
And that's exactly why it's so important when you're doing this work to put yourself in environments where you're actually doing the work. Like, the requirements, even for Unlock Your Inner Medium, the amount of readings that the mediums have to do in the program is intense. And there's a reason for it. And I just actually had a student reach out to me and she's like, I'm so happy that you had us do that group readings that we had to do, because I went and did it myself and I could handle it. Like, because putting them in situations, uncomfortable positions, to kind of be on and do things in different ways makes things happen even easier outside of the teaching mode, outside of the classroom. And then they can actually apply it and see for themselves, like, wow, I'm standing here alone. I can do it. But I can understand how there's resistance. I get it. You know, doing the very first event. So that's huge.
Yeah, it is.
putting yourself out there. So it kind of comes into play with the importance of knowing that, like, what you learn in class and what you learn in a book, it is going to be different from when you're alone doing it, when you're alone holding the space for your clients. You're setting up the event. It might look easy on the outside, you know, when you're watching things being taught or you're watching things being led by all different teachers. But then when you go to do it, there's some changes that take place. Like, whoa, I didn't realize that I had to hold that energy together. Because it's not just about teaching. It's about leading energetically too.
Yeah, it's not only for the moment, right? It's not only for that. Like, some people will show up at the retreat or they'll show up at a workshop and they're there for that moment and say, oh, this seems easy. But you forget that, yeah, like we do a retreat once a year. So we're anticipating that next retreat for a full year.
Mm-hmm.
Can you handle the anticipation?
Yeah, there's...
Going through life, having life have all of these problems go on around you that we all experience, all these emotions coming up within you. Can you handle that and prepare your mind and body and everything you need leading up to that for a year, leading up to the workshop, holding
yeah.
that space? So you're not just holding the space that day.
Right.
Like, you're holding this space leading up to it too. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges. Like, once I get to a workshop or a retreat, it's easy. It's game on. I've already, like, I'm in it. It's the anticipation of it that was really challenging for me. Now it's easier because I've been doing it for 7 years. I have a lot
mm-hmm.
of practice. That's the power, right? That's
right.
The power. Once you master that process of leading up to things and you know how to, like, get your mind right and your body right and your energy right, I feel like it's just easy once you show up and do the reading or the retreat or the workshop.
Exactly. And I know there's a lot of teachers that are of mediumship that are going to be listening to this episode too. And you're going to understand what we're talking about. You get it. Like, you've been through it. You've been through the process. So there's so many layers to it. But the most important thing is no matter what, to keep on moving, no matter what happens, no matter what comes out, don't let anything stop you, because there's going to be things that come up. It might be personal things in your life where you're like, should I take a break from mediumship for a year? Or it might be that internal resistance, thinking it's outside of yourself, that it's because of this happening that you're not doing mediumship anymore. But really, it's about resetting and taking the time to really get clear, like, why is this coming up for me? It's not external. There's something going on inside that's taking place, and I need to really observe this. And maybe it's reworking your schedule. Maybe you're putting so much energy into your clients where you're doing too many readings, or you are keeping yourself open on social media to answer 50 million questions. I mean, that happened to me, where I now created the membership, which was how many years ago at this point?
Probably 5 or 7 or 6.
To keep people in one spot where they're in the membership and we can talk and each month and they can ask the questions. Because, you know, you have to think about that. This is energy going out in different areas. And I think that's a big thing to recognize. Your energy is going out into different areas, and you have to be really mindful of where you're putting your energy to and what you're spending time on. So we want you to share in the comments, let us know what insights you had from this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And remember, just at the end, so that you guys hear about this, we are interviewing people. So we're taking more people. We're infusing interviews into the Lindsay and Tony podcast. We've done it throughout the years, but we're going to be really more intentional about the people that are coming on the show. So we have some great guests that are going to be lined up for you, and we're excited. All right. Talk to you guys later.
Enjoy your Friday.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did. If you liked it, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and remember, subscribe to our YouTube channel too.
If you can think of anyone else that would love this episode, share it with them right now on social media or email. And remember, getting results is a process of learning, applying, and reflecting. Stay consistent and continue to grow every day.